Let's go to Genesis 39. We'll go several places this morning. And I'm not trying not to be political this morning in any way. I say that first. Brother Wayne said wear it out. But we're going to look at, I guess you can look at an honest administration, no matter the cost. And I guess I started out looking at that. In our lives, here I'm flipping, trying to find Genesis, and I'm talking in our lives about spiritual bribery. In other words, and we'll look briefly at a couple other places to be familiar to you. Let's see, 39 here. Let me get over to it. But maybe Naboth's vineyard, and some of those places where, you know, don't sell. We're not for sale. I think that's kind of the youth's theme, is we're not for sale. And I thought about that. But they, in other words, there's no spiritual bribery. They're not willing to sell out. I think Brother Lance has talked about that before as far as the kids. And they had kind of taken it up, I guess, as their theme. And Brother Johnny had done that as well. So we'll look at Genesis 39 and just kind of start out with thinking as an honest administration. Now, if we had all of the House of Representatives and all the senators here, I'm sure they'd all shake their head and agree this morning. Oh, yeah, you got to have an honest administration. We have to be honest. And I'm sure everybody in the White House would say the same, and all our leaders locally, no matter where they would be. But what we see in life is it's not always that way. And we have to think about our life, too. Or are we selling out portions of our life or sections of our life? In other words, or spiritual bribery. In other words, is something taking us away from studying, from reading, from praying? A bribe, just by the definition, is intended to corrupt, intended to pervert, intended to change your mind, intended to get you to, look the other way. Trying to think of, provide influence, or maybe there otherwise there wouldn't be any influence. You know, you want a road going through a certain area, and it might benefit you, so maybe there's a bribe, and the road all of a sudden goes through your property. I'm just thinking of examples. So what we'll see, too, there's also bribery, or other than bribery, is just lying for, and that's what we'll see here, to maybe protect yourself or to cause harm to someone else and how it affects their life. Of course, we see here how it affected Joseph, and over a period of time, that was just the way God was working in his life. But and Joseph had faith to depend on the Lord. And we see how that, occurred in Joseph's life. By the end of Genesis, I think it was Brother Grizzle who did a Sunday school class before, and he looked at each step of Joseph's life, everything we thought that would have been that's really bad. Joseph went to prison, or Joseph was, he was a servant in a house, and he went through everything that happened to him. They sold him into slavery, et cetera, at the beginning. I remember he took each step and talked about later in Joseph's life when there was a famine in Egypt, how each one of those circumstances was training him. In other words, Joseph knew how to take care of a lot of men and a lot of people, like he did in prison. He knew how to feed a lot of people. He knew, today the big word is logistics. I didn't know that logistics were becoming really popular in college for students to study, how to get things from one place to the other. A lot of them want to work for Amazon, or Walmart or something. And Eastman, I work with a young lady, her husband's in logistics at Eastman, and talking about getting those trucks in and out and carrying it, taking everything, she told me where the port was, somewhere in South Carolina, it seems like, and getting all that down there back and forth. And see, Joseph knew all that. He knew how to get food here and there. And, you can look at Moses' life, too. You say, well, now, God led Moses and the children of Israel. That's true. He did, and he led them out, and he gave Moses instruction. And look at Moses' early life, though, when he was, in the army, in the Egyptian military. The battles, of course, you have to look at Josephus, but the battles that he led, he was considered very cunning, and so he had, battlefield experience, so to speak. So when the Egyptians was chasing them, if they needed to fight or if they needed to move a big group of people quickly, Moses knew how to do it. He'd been experienced with that. So think about that sometimes in your life. You're going through a trying time. You may not realize why. But go back and think about Joseph. Think about Moses. Think about how God, think about Ruth. Think about how God used things in their life to get them prepared for something that may come in the future. And so anyway, I say that, and I'm not going to read all of Genesis 39. But we're going to look at an honest administration no matter the cost. And then we're going to go back and look at what it cost us, what it cost our spirit, or spiritual bribery. And we're going to look at two or three examples in the New Testament of individuals who sold out, so to speak, in a negative way, even though they knew God was God, or maybe they heard the gospel and chose to go another direction. And then we're going to look at how you defeat spiritual bribery in our lives. How do you maintain that integrity? And of course, one of my favorite books of the Bible, Proverbs, we'll go back and look and see what Solomon, what advice he gave to the children of Israel, and we'll see how that applies to us. And that's how we'll kind of wrap up the morning. But chapter 39, if we'll look verse number 7, it's one of the best places to start with someone that's being lied upon, so to speak. In other words, resisting temptation but maintaining your integrity. And that's what Joseph does, and that's what we look at in our life. So there'll be two places we'll look. We'll look here, then I think I'll go over to 1 Kings 2, because Nabal's vineyard's always another one of those places where it's a good place to begin to study, to look at how he would not give up what was his family's property or vineyard. He said he just couldn't do that, no matter what the king said. So here Joseph and Potiphar's wife, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me," but he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wanteth not what is, what me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand." So that's integrity of Joseph. So see, when you first read that, you think things must going to turn out all right for Joseph. You know, why would the Lord allow him to go to prison? Which that's what ends up happening. "There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" It came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. There was none of the men of the house within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. In other words, he got out quick. That means got him out, got out fast. He was running. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. It came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out." In other words, she's lying on him. He tried to maintain his integrity and tried to get out, and look what happened. Of course, later we know, and Joseph's master took him, that's verse number 20, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. And so, see, for trying to maintain his integrity, to try to follow what God, or he says, "I do this great wickedness and sin against God." In other words, should I do this and sin against God? No, I'm not going to. And it still cost him. It cost him something. If you look, though, at Potiphar, per se, he still had, because of Joseph, his administration was still honest. He just had a wicked wife. But see, it only takes one there. And that perverted or cost Joseph something. Of course, as we go back, and I talked about earlier, that was preparing Joseph for other things in his life. Now, let's look over in 1 Kings, if you would, and we'll look at one other place. 1 Kings, I think it's 20 or 21. Let's see here. Yeah. I think it's 21. Yep, it is. And I'll look there and said, "And Nabal said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And that right there is really all we need to read. You know, Ahab wanted that vineyard. It was an ideal spot, an ideal place. It's almost like, you know, someone wanting, I guess, and it's not the case here, I'm sure, but you think about in today's world, somebody wants to put a shopping center, or somebody wants to put something really nice, and maybe a road or an interstate interchange or something, and a farmer owns the land. He's had it for so many years, and, you know, he don't want to give it up, and, of course, nowadays, by the money amounts that get traded hands, usually they do, but that's the way kind of I see this. Ahab wanted it for whatever reason to keep it as a vineyard, or it was close to, and we know it was close to where, I guess, they lived, he and Jezebel, so he wanted it close by, and Naboth said, no, I can't do that. I can't give it up. And so he kept his honesty, or kept his integrity about him, things of God. And that's what's so difficult to do today, because in the cases of Joseph and Naboth, we can read about them, and we can see what happened. And so it's a little easier to say, okay, yeah, look what happened in their lives. But we have to remember that and keep that in our minds daily, because we may not always see that in our life that day. You know, we're people, I guess, and what people want to do is you want to do something or deny something, then you want to see the result of it, or from doing something, or from denying, or staying away, or maybe like Joseph running from sin, or Nabal here turning down Ahab, who was a wicked king, and you know, you want to see the results almost immediately, where you may not see the results. It may be longer in your life, or it may be something your kids or a spouse or something sees later on that occurred and said, you know, I remember them doing that or this occurring. And as you think about probably grandparents now or friends you've had or maybe moms and dads or someone that said no and took a stand, so to speak. And at the time, you thought, boy, they've lost their mind. But later on, you realize, boy, they were exactly right. And so just keep those in mind, because we kind of did the reverse this morning. That normally would have been what we would have, I think, ended up the lesson with. It's an honest administration. Let's keep our integrity. So let's look at some places in the Scripture now where there was no integrity. Bribery was I guess, thought to be had. In other words, you had to bribe to get anything done. That's why I said if we had all the politicians in here this morning and we went through the story of Joseph and Naboth's vineyard, I'm sure they all, especially with Naboth's vineyard, they'd all been cheering and saying, yeah, tell the king no. You don't want him to take that vineyard, but yet sometimes you wonder about some of the deals that go on in our own politics, if that would be the case. So let's flip over to Matthew, or I can read them to you as we would, or you can go to Matthew with me, 28. And I said I had these marked, but I don't, but it won't take just a second to find them. I appreciate the Lord allowing me to go back to work a few days, and I say that to you because I always remember you got to keep the class moving, because if you don't, people tend to drift off. I know how that is with adults or with young men and women. So Matthew 28, verse 12, I say that because I went back last week. It was spring break, but it gave me a chance to kind of get in there. And I'll say this, Kim was right. You know, I love that Avalon we've got. It's probably got 200,000 miles on it, and I don't know. It's which that's fine with me. And it's, I don't know, I forget how old it is now, maybe 12 years old or something, but it still rides good and drives good. And I was putting that wheelchair in the back seat, and I was taking it apart, you know, putting it back together, taking it apart, putting it back together. And Kim said, I think that van would be easier for you. No, I'm not going to drive a van. I don't like a van. I don't want to be in a van. She said, I think you ought to try it. And you may go, no, I don't want to be in a van. But anyway, this last week I tried the van, and I'm driving the van. And she was exactly right. I took that, I think it was Friday before last, I took that wheelchair apart 5 times. And I got tired of doing that. And in the van, I'd just pick it up, set it out, set it back in, pick it up, set it out. But I didn't tell her that till this morning. And so all week long, I complained about how bad that van was. And then this morning, she just smiled. And she said, I'll drive the car. And I said, that'll be fine. And so anyway, so I thank the Lord for that. But I say that because I'm back over here in Matthew 28 now. It gave me a little time to get that. Let me read something to you. This is a report of the guard who's on duty here after the crucifixion of Christ. And I was looking kind of get this up to speed, so I'm not going to read it all here for you. It was right after. So then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. That's verse number 10 in Matthew 28. We'll get down to verse number 11. And again, this is, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. And when they say watch here, they're talking about the guards, the Roman soldiers, came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. So see, automatically here, you got the guard coming in, but who they go to? The religious, I guess, people of the day. And so, see, you still can't take out, that's where we're getting into this bribery again, not just physical briberies. We talked about gifts for something done, highway, whatever. But now you start looking at spiritual bribery. And that's what we have to be cautious of. That's what cost us something. Don't sell out. Remember Naboth. Remember Joseph. Okay, see, we went to look at those first. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, so they got all them together, they gave large money unto the soldiers. In other words, paid them off. Saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Spiritual bribery. Already the religious people of that day, the Pharisees, was trying to buy them off. They wanted the people to think something else. Oh, we can't let them think that Christ arose as he said he would. And see, you know, I think about that sometimes. And as I was reading that, that shows how wicked they were, because they knew that it had happened, but yet they still tried to pay them off to say it hadn't. And you think about how wicked that has to be. Rather than saying, man, that he was right. Boy, we need to get the word out. We've been wrong all this time. It was more about, here you go, let's get our money together. Okay, now, this is a story you need to tell. You think about that. And these people at that time, the Pharisees, they were the ones that were supposed to know the scripture. But blinded, so blinded, that they yet still pay them off. So I think about that even today, that influence or that way of thinking is still around. You think about that. Still around today. And that's hard to believe. To know something is true, especially scriptural, to know it, but still try to suppress it because others won't know. Now, you talking about that would scare me to death, or you think about a wrathful God. Oh, you know, because you're keeping the word from others, or keeping the gospel from others, or the truth from others intentionally. That'd be like if they come along and lock these doors, keep the gospel from being preached. Oh, the one that put the lock on there and the padlock, I'd hate to be that fella or woman. You think about the government that comes along, and it probably happened one day in this country, says no more preaching. Boy, I'd hate to be the one sitting in the White House or in the House of Representatives or the Senator's seats, or I'd hate to be the one that raises my hand and votes then and says, yeah, no more preaching. That gospel's killing us. That's not really how it happened. Let's tell the real story. Boy, I'd hate to be that. And see, that's the way I think about these Pharisees. They knew the truth. Paid them off. Spiritual bribery. They perverted it, corrupted it, changed it. And just think about how that might have affected a group or one person or two people or whatever from them ever being saved. Boy, that's a... See, we talk about a debt as when we were sinners, we couldn't pay. Christ paid that for us on the cross. Well, you think about these folks. They don't get right and get saved. And I can't even... The depth of that's way above up here when you keep the gospel from someone else. That's why, see, we send missionaries out. I mean, I know I'm... What do they say, the old saying, preaching to the choir, so to speak, or talking to the choir. You know that. But if you think about it, that's why we send those out, missionaries, to get the word out. That's why we run the buses. That's why Kenny and Jerry pick them up and bring them in. That's why we go visiting the first Saturday of every month, inviting people to church, trying to get the gospel out. You think about that, spiritual bribery. That's just what they committed. And I'll move on. I've got a couple other examples. That's the soldiers there. They're paid off. They took the money. And that's what's recorded in history. I've had people tell me that before. Still, going back to that, I talked to them about, you know, the resurrection, Christ rising, you know, from the tomb and like he said he would. Easter's coming up soon, and anyway, we'll talk about that. And I've mentioned that to a fellow before, and he said, well, you know, he said, I think there's another opinion there that maybe the disciples just stole the body. And I'm thinking, you know, that's in my lifetime somebody said that. You think about the years that went by, and there's still people that's around. Oh, no, they stole his body and hid it, and they just moved that stone, and people's believed that ever since. You think about that, how that's affected people down through the years. Boy, I'd hate to be in their shoes. All right, let's look over. Anyway, it's just not far, but I can turn over there. Acts 8. Let's look at another example. See, that's why you want to be more like Joseph, Naboth. You know, they spent a little time in prison. Naboth, of course, lost his life. And you know, that's not lightly to say that. I mean, and there's others. Maggie and I talking this week coming from school. How she comes up with this stuff, I don't know. She was asking me about Martin Luther. And, you know, and you know, they told him that, you know, they tried to kill him, the Catholic Church had, or tried to track him down. I forgot exactly how they worded it in school because she's just in fifth grade. So, you know, he wasn't in there talking about, oh, there was a murderous crowd chasing him, you know. I'm sure he worded it in a way where, you know, they sought his life. I think that's what she said. She said, why would they do that, or why didn't they try to catch him? And I said, well, he went against the norm at the time. I said, that's where Protestants come from. I said, you know, we think about Baptist, as far as what we believe, it had always been in place, and now here's the Protestants, which we think of Presbyterian, Methodist, others. And anyway, it was a deep conversation, and I was trying to go as fast as I could on the interstate in that van to get home to change the subject, because, you know, it's not to change the subject, but what I mean, with a 10-year-old, I'm trying to, she was really listening, but, you know, you don't want to say anything wrong, you know, you want to try to, you know, anyway, y'all have been there before, too, like, so. Anyway, what we got down to is I was talking with her. I said, well, he was from Germany. And I said, they were very warlike at the time. And I said, they were afraid of the other ones, other tribes, if they were to kill him, that they would attack the church and wipe all them out. So I said, that's kind of how God used where he was from to protect him. She goes, oh, yeah, that's right. He told us he was from Germany. So I say that to say, see, there's another person who would have lost his life, so much like Naboth, just for standing up, or I guess pointing out some spiritual bribery, so to speak. In other words, the common man or woman or home or family couldn't have a Bible. And that was one of the things that he was against. Like, you know, why is the church the only one that's got Scripture? So I say that when you take a stand, not everything always turns out like Joseph, Naboth. You know, sometimes you think Martin Luther, and I was trying to think of others down through time. There's usually a price to pay for standing up. And so let's look at another example here of someone in spiritual bribery. I'll watch my time. We still got about 10 minutes. Acts 8, verse number 18, 19. Now here's another one here that we talked about the Pharisees who were just dead spiritually. They knew the Bible, but they just dead spiritually. Now here's a person who makes an outward profession. But only for profit, only to make money off the gospel. And I hate to say it, but that's out there too. It is. And you know, here we go, and I'm sure you... That's what makes it hard on churches and people that's really trying to share and spread the truth. Because that's burning people. And when I say burn people, they say, well, look at there. They're just in it for the money. As soon as the money goes, they go. Or they've told me this or that. Or send your $20 in and we'll pray all your cares away. You know, I remember I told you guys, and some of you laughed because y'all got one too. Remember I brought it to Sunday school. This has been several years ago. Maybe we'd only been here just a little while in this building. Remember that little rug I got in the mail? Wasn't it a rug or something? I forget what it was. I thought I'd kept that. I don't know what I did with it. And they told me if I'd send money back in, they'd send me other pieces or something. Anyway, I could. That was like a spiritual rug or blanket or something. It had power. They were mailing it to me. And I thought, well, am I the only one that got one? Or if it really works like that, won't you mail it to everybody? You know, won't you give them out in the hospitals? Won't you give them out everywhere? But see, people get that. And people's got sense. They'll see that and they'll say, well, there's nothing to that. Throw it away. And the next thing you know, 15 minutes later, somebody in Bible Way knocks on the door wanting to invite them to church. Well, they associate and put those two things together. And that's how they do with the group of Pharisees that paid off the guards. And the same way, as we look here at this I guess, what is it, Simon? As we look here in his life, and boy, you talk about another one. I said the Pharisees, that would have scared me to death. Y'all know how I am. Anyway, you know, I tell you about stuff. I guess I'm kind of old-timey sometimes. I remember even down in Houston, some of the things I'd say or I'd do, or I'd say, no, don't do that. We won't do that. They'd say, boy, you're old-timey. Or you said, you're like my grandmother is what they'd tell me. And I'd think, boy, I hope I'm not getting up that old. And, you know, but some of them would say that. Of course, they'd be young. But I say that because this is another one who I'd hate to be in this man's shoes is what I'm saying. And let's read about him here. I won't continue on, but you'll see why. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Let me read that again. I messed that up. When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. So he offered them money. In other words, Simon offered them money. In other words, he thought to make a profit, saying, give me also this power, that whomsoever I lay hands, I may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. Spiritual bribery. See, you think you can get it, you can pay them off, you can act a certain way, you can deceive people with false preaching, you can bring in great numbers into the church and say, I got 1,000 every Sunday or 2,000, and I'm going to go the other way because we always blame it on big churches, but you might have 50 or 25 and still be in there for the profit, so to speak, or for the attention. So Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Oh, I hate to be him. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God, just like those Pharisees. Spiritual bribery, trying to buy it or pay it off. You think about that. And I'd hate to be either group, the Pharisees or Simon. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. So he said, you can pray. But if, so that if still there. And that's by the, and that goes back to the grace of God. If perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. In other words, you're a wicked man. And we don't talk about Simon as much, I guess, or he didn't come up as much. And heard that preached on a few times. And but you think about just Simon's life and tried to buy the gift of God, tried to buy the Holy Spirit. Oh, me. And his son died on the cross, and yet he offered him money to try to get it. How cheap that would be, or how cheap he tried to make that, what the cost really was. Here, I got another one to go to. Again, I'd hate to be in any of those shoes. So, again, go back and think of Potiphar and Joseph, Naboth, and, of course, Ahab. Same thing occurred, really, with what they stood for. Let's look here. I'll keep moving again. I seems like with that time springing forward, seems like I've got all kinds of time this morning. Y'all probably think so, too. Said, boy, he needs to move on. I've got just a little bit of time left. I like that springing forward. Seems like I got more time this morning than I've ever had. I keep looking at that clock. I think it's right. So we'll keep going here. We'll look at Acts 24. I'll stay in the same place. Oh, a very, very common place we've heard preached on here before. Can't get my mind. Paul and Felix. I was thinking, trying to get that going in my head there, who it was. See, here's one case where I'll go ahead and read it. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. So you don't really see any money changing hands, but you're going to see something here that until I was trying to look at spiritual bribery and we think of money changing hands, paying things off, trying to buy the Holy Spirit, trying to pay hush money, trying to keep the gospel suppressed. We don't want it going out. Felix was a little different. Really the only person it affected was himself, maybe his wife, maybe the court. I mean people that were there. But boy, how it affected his life because we see it, nothing ever changed or Felix never got saved. Let's go back and read this again. As he reasoned in righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. And as you look there at that trembled, if I recall, I think even my Bible mentions, and yeah, it does, it goes back and says, translated as was afraid. He trembled, he was afraid. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." In other words, when I have some time, I'll call for you and listen again. Of course, from what we see in Scripture, that never occurred. He walked out, so to speak. But look at verse number 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. See, he wanted some money for Paul. He heard the gospel preached. He trembled. He was afraid. He knew Paul had something. He knew. And even as we see earlier, Paul's letting Felix know, said, "I know you know the truth," and I'm paraphrasing. We won't go back and read all that. But he said, "I know you know this is real. I know you know it's the truth." But rather than listen and have Paul there, he let him go, hoping in his heart that he'd get paid off to let Paul go, even though he heard the truth. So sometimes, as we saw in the first two examples, we have people that corrupt the truth, so to speak. Maybe false teaching, false preaching. They try to hush money, try to shut down the church, as we saw that in the Pharisees in the first example. Second example, they're trying to buy the Holy Spirit, try to pay you off, etc. In other words, this is more for their attention and their gain. But here we see one individual who still, even though he heard the truth, said, "Well, what do I get out of it? What's in it for me? Don't think about eternity. What do I get?" Rather than eternal life, that's not what he was looking at. Even though he trembled, he was looking at what does he get out of it. And last but not least, I think I got 1 minute to go here. We'll look at a couple places and see what Solomon says about our integrity. Then I'm gone. You don't even have to turn there and we'll be finished. So how do we maintain our incorruptness, not only as individuals but as the church, and our soundness day to day? Let's look at Proverbs 11, and I'll read these and we'll be. You know, we talked about keeping our balance last week. And I didn't notice this right now. I'll read this. See, a false balance, losing that balance in our life. False balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. I didn't even catch that when I read that. That goes back to last week. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. So you think about Naboth, think about Joseph, but then you think about those examples we read where, again, payoffs occurred, spiritual bribery occurred, shifting the gospel, changing what's being preached. You know, who was that? Said the devil will use 99.9% truth, but that 0.1% is where you get in trouble. That's right. Now just look here, we're finished. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Again, it doesn't say you'll see it immediately. Think about Joseph, how many years it took. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, right, but righteousness delivereth from death. I think about those Pharisees that paid those guards off. They didn't see it right at the time, but boy, when they died and went to hell. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness or wickedness, perverseness. Going back to what we say bribery does, it perverts. Our example was politically today, we try to get a road or building built or whatever it is, or preferential treatment, so to speak. But in the Bible, we think about bribery similarly, but spiritual bribery. And that's what it's saying here in this verse number 6 as we look. But transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness or wickedness or pervertedness. In other words, want to change the way people think about the gospel or even hear the gospel. And you see that today everywhere. All right, we're done. Oh, I went longer than what I thought. Hopefully they put that clock up 2 or 3 minutes. Here I had plenty of time. I got right there at the end. But I hope that's a blessing. Go back and read that. Think about them in their lives. As you go through your life and as you try to be a witness to somebody, just remember, like in Joseph's life, it took his whole life to see that. You know, you don't always see immediate results. So anyway, thank y'all.